A group of former CHL players is suing the CHL, seeking $180 million in back wages, overtime, vacation pay, and punitive damages. The lawyer representing that group of players is Ted Charney. He is a senior partner with Charney Lawyers, and he joins us on the Jeff Blair Show. Ted, thanks so much for doing this morning.
Hi, Jeff. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm conflicted here because I think college athletes should be paid. I think they should be paid more than a living wage. I think, for example, if you go to Florida State University, I think you should be paid a ton of money. If you go to North Dakota or, you know, Bemidji State or whatever, you should be paid money, but maybe not as much. The question I have with you with junior hockey is, we know that there are a lot of junior hockey teams making a ton of money in places like London and places like that, but what about some of the smaller markets? I don't know if a team in Sudbury or Sault Ste. Marie necessarily generates the same amount of revenue. And that would be my problem with this lawsuit. Can you kind of maybe walk me through it and tell me why I'm full of it?
Well, look, from our perspective, it's not so much about how much the profits are for each individual team. It's about whether the players should receive at least minimum wage, regardless of what team they play for. Presumably the teams that are making significant profits, like the ones you've mentioned, can afford to pay the players minimum wage more easily than some of the other teams. But we're not talking about awarding the players salaries of hundreds of thousands of dollars like they might be entitled to in the NCAA. We're talking about minimum wage. That's all we're talking about. It's the minimum amount across the country that any employee is entitled to receive, whether they're at the beginning of their career and trying to pursue an opportunity or at the end of their career. It's just, even in the smaller markets here, surely they can afford to pay the players minimum wage. And, the leagues have significant television revenues and marketing arrangements with most of the major corporations in Canada. So, and ticket sales. So it's really, from our perspective, it's not an affordability issue here.
Mm-hmm.
It's a law issue here, which is, if the relationship is one of employer-employee, which the lawsuit says it is, then the legislation applies. That's the law of the land. Everyone's protected by the minimum wage legislation. Why wouldn't the players be protected? So what the league has done over the last 20 years is characterize the players as independent contractors. Every player has to sign this contract. If they want to play in the league, they don't have any choice. And it says, I agree, I'm an independent contractor, which would make them actually their own business.
Sure.
They're working for themselves, providing a service to the league. If you talk to the league, they sure don't want to call it an independent contractor relationship anymore. Now they're jumping on the amateur athlete.
I was just going to read that. Yeah.
Which is, by the way, is brand new. Until now, they've been independent contractors.
Now they're calling
them contract. Now they're calling them something else.
They'll amateur student athletes, yeah.
They're going to call them anything they can, as long as it's not employer-employee. So in the NCAA, they've always gotten away with not paying because they're amateur athletes. And so the CHL has now borrowed that classification. But the problem is, in the NCAA, at least they're playing for a university. These
right.
leagues are not universities. These leagues are business enterprises, period. So now they're trying to adopt a designation that applies to university athletes. Like if you go to the University of Toronto and you play football for the U of T, I mean, you're not necessarily going to get a minimum wage because you're playing football for your university. But
right.
The Canadian Hockey League, as far as I know, isn't in the business yet of being a university. For all I know, they're going to open one up tomorrow to avoid being called an employer, but right now they're not a university.
Ted, how would you, there are going to be people out there who are going to say that there is a value to opportunity, that there is a financial value to the opportunity that this league is giving these players for future income. Now, I'm not a lawyer. I kind of have an issue with that, but you know as well as I do that there are people who are going to view it that way. Can you quantify in any way how much an quote-unquote opportunity is worth?
Well, everybody who works in part takes a job because of an opportunity, whether it's a hockey player or an actor trying to make their way up through the business or even a lawyer. And sometimes in order to get that opportunity, you accept a low wage to begin with, but you still get paid, and you still get paid at least minimum wage. So yeah, there's an opportunity. Mm-hmm. If the players receive minimum wage, the teams still make millions of dollars while paying the players minimum wage to sell a product, which is the players. The players are the product. So maybe, in fairness, the players should just get minimum wage, and then they have their opportunity. You know, out of all of the players that play in the CHL, 1,300 players, it's only a very, very small percentage that makes it into pro hockey.
Right.
So, you know, a lot of them just don't get into pro hockey, or they blow out their knee. And meanwhile, they're getting $35 a week to play 35, 40 hours, 50, 60 hours a week. And they're trying to get through high school when they're spending most of their time playing hockey. And they're not even getting minimum wage. So, yeah, there's an opportunity that might factor into the equation, but they should still get paid minimum wage.